Oh, hey, I'm so glad that you found us. My name's Michael, and I get to be the pastor at Shepherd's Community United Methodist Church in Lakeland, Florida. You're listening to the It's Better When You're Here podcast, where every week we upload the messages that are preached at our church every Sunday. We hope by listening to this, you feel safe, heard, and loved by the God that created you. We hope this message makes an impact in your life. If listening to this makes a difference, reach out to us and connect with us either on social media or on our website, shepherdsumc.com. All right, here's the message. Holiness and God's goodness cannot be contained and it cannot be controlled. Answering our calling requires us to be comfortable with the wildfire of God's love. Last week I was gone. I was in the thriving metropolis of Louisville, Kentucky. Yeah, it was really amazing. I was there for 36 hours. There were two tornado warnings. I saw white caps on the pool of the hotel I was staying in. But my sister's oldest kid was graduating high school. At this point, I have less nephews and nieces in primary school and moving on into college because my sisters are old. Hi, Nikki. They watch the live stream. But it was so great to be able to see my sister's oldest graduate high school, went to a high school graduation, which everyone knows is just the most thrilling form of entertainment that's out there. But it was great. Got to hang out with them, and they're going to camp, working at a summer camp in Colorado. So, of course, they shaved their head after they graduated high school at the hotel pool. I think we were the favorite tenants at Hampton Inn in Louisville, but it was a great time. So thank you for being in church. Let's your preacher take a couple weeks off here and there. And thank you for welcoming my friend Wyatt so well. I was able to listen to the podcast, and there were layovers at the airport because there were, again, tornadoes. And so I got to enjoy that. But last week, Wyatt talked about how sometimes Christians like to say that they speak the truth in love, and then they say really mean things. They take a verse in Ephesians and they move it and twist it around just a little bit until they can speak the truth to people and it doesn't sound like love. But what I love about what Wyatt said is that the truth ultimately will set us free. And so if we find ourselves speaking truth but then breaking the heart of the people that are receiving it, I wonder, and Wyatt wonders, is it actually the truth? And so it pushed us towards a place of understanding that we have a job as Christians to speak the truth to the end, that our neighbors can be set free. This week, I want us to continue that sort of mode of thinking to say this. To follow Christ is to be a part of a powerful movement leading towards the world changing. Christianity for a long, long time has been something nice and polite, doesn't want to bother, doesn't want to make a fuss. But if we look at Scripture, that's not what Christ came to do. That's not what the Holy Spirit does. The church exists to change our neighborhood. Our passage today talks about how wide the invite might go. Our passage today is from Acts chapter 11. I encourage you later today to read that passage in its entirety. I'm going to read a few excerpts from it today because, frankly, the theological term for this passage is kind of weird, okay? There's a sheep filled with pigs, I'm not joking, descending from heaven and rising back up into heaven. God tells someone to kill them and eat them. It's kind of weird, and I'll let you do all that heavy lifting. I'll explain it for what we need to hear today, but I encourage you to read that on your own. The first thing I'm going to say today, the first thing you can write in your bulletin bookmark, and if you want to take longer, more in-depth notes, you can go to shepherdsumc.com. You'll find a button for sermon notes. Click on that. And the first thing you'll type into there is this. May we always expect the Holy Spirit to call the least likely. May we always expect the Holy Spirit to call the least likely. Our passage today, like I said, comes from Acts chapter 11. In Scripture, when the Bible was read, when the prophets or the law was read, people stood in honor of that reading. So I invite you now, as you're able, to stand at your seat as we hear God's word from Acts chapter 11. A thing that we do here at Shepherd's, it's kind of weird, kind of different. All Methodists say this is the word of God for us, the people of God, and then everyone says, thanks be to God, in kind of like a depressed, sad sort of way. Here at Shepherd's, we choose to really lean into that thankfulness. And we say the ancient Hebrew word, woo! And so be ready for that. Don't be thrown off by that if it's your first time with us. But hear the word of the Lord from Acts chapter 11. The apostles and the brothers and sisters throughout Judea heard that even the Gentiles had welcomed God's word. When Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him. They accused him, "You went into the home of the uncircumcised and ate with them." Step by step, Peter explained what had happened. The voice from heaven spoke a second time, "Never consider unclean what God has made pure." At that moment, three men who had been sent to Peter from Caesarea arrived at the house where Peter and his friends were staying. The Spirit told Peter to go with them, even though they were Gentiles. These six brothers also went with Peter, and we entered that man's house. He reported to us how he had seen an angel standing in his house and saying, "Send to Joppa and summon Simon, who is also known as Peter. He will tell you how you and your entire household can be saved." When Peter began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them, just as the Spirit fell on the disciples in the beginning. Peter remembered the Lord's words, "John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." If God gave them the same gift he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, then who am I? Could I stand in God's way? This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Woo! Please have a seat. So this passage, like I said, kind of weird, kind of strange. Let me pull out some of the things you need to know about it. First of all, let's talk about Jews and Gentiles, the circumcised and the uncircumcised. Don't worry, parents. The Jewish people were those that were called by God's grace in the Old Covenant. These were the people that Jesus first appeared to. And in fact, and this is important, we sometimes forget this, Jesus only appeared to the Jewish people. And so if your mother was Jewish or is Jewish, then you are a part of that lineage. But everyone else, those are the Gentiles. I'm a Gentile. My mother was from West Virginia and is of West Virginian stock. I think Irish, and I don't know. A lot of different things. North American mutt, I guess. But I am not a part of that lineage. And yet, in this miracle, in this moment, the Holy Spirit shows up to everyone. Up until this point, Peter was a good Jewish man that kept all of the separation between the Jewish people and the world around them, the Gentiles. It was in that separation that they held this sort of pride. They were God's chosen people. They were the only ones that had the message of the gospel from Jesus up until this moment. We cannot comprehend how radical it is that the gospel was opened up to everyone. Some of you might know, but I get to teach at Florida Southern as an adjunct, and one of the classes I teach is on the sociology of religion, studying religion as a sociological sort of instrument. And we talk about older or the other religions, and for the longest time, for several thousands of years, religion existed as sort of a nationalistic marker. It was a way to show who you were and who your people were. You had that allegiance to that religion, not so much because of faith, but because of where you were born. Like, because I'm a Christian and because I'm from Boston, I'm a Red Sox fan, right? And so that's a part of my cultural, I hear that amen, it's thundering throughout the space. Because of that, I am identified by that marker. That's what religion was like. It had very little to do with faith, but at this moment, in this miracle, because Peter listened to the Holy Spirit, it got opened up to all of us. Doesn't matter where you were born, doesn't matter when you were born, the gospel is for you. You see, the wildfire of the Holy Spirit is meant to consume the world. This isn't some sort of small little sect that we get to keep for ourselves, a small little movement that we get to hold in our church, on our property. It is a wildfire meant to consume the world. May we always expect the Holy Spirit to call the least likely. You see, Peter didn't have anything in common with these men that showed up and asked him for help. They may have spoken the same language, but life was very, very different for these Gentiles that came to Peter. To be a Jewish person in Peter's time was to be a second-class citizen. It was to be without an ability to vote. You could own property, but it could be taken from you at any time. The thing that always sticks out to me when I learned about this time period was that any Jewish man could be stopped by a Roman and required to carry the Roman's bag for a mile. Could you imagine how belittling that would be? You're late to work, you're walking, you're trying to get there, and someone says, "Hey, you, take my bag and carry it." You realize then you don't have as much agency, you don't have as much determination, you have very little personhood. But yet Peter, in humility, goes and speaks to these Gentiles in their privilege and tells them about God's grace. You see, we've been talking about, when it comes to our calling as the church, our calling is to welcome all, to look at the world around us and wonder why everyone is out there. If this message is for everyone, then where is everyone? That question that is pushing and pulling us as a church into our future. Well, what it means to welcome all as a church? Well, first of all, it's great marketing. And so you'll hear that most churches in Lakeland will say that they welcome all people, and some of them even mean it. But a lot don't. They might say that they do, but then there's asterisks, or there's fine print, or there's something there that lets you know, you might be welcome, but we need you to change a little bit. But you see, this church, we truly do welcome all people, and that sounds really nice, but let me tell you, it is a lot of work. It's a lot of work to welcome all people. What do I mean by that? Well, first of all, it means that there might be times when we experience awkward silence. I don't know if you've ever experienced awkward silence. I feel like that's a lot of my job. But you're in awkward silence when you feel that you don't know what to say. You know that you probably should, but yet the words don't come. Or maybe you're wondering, why is this person here? What has the church done to them? What is their story? Where are they at? Awkward silence is something that we as the church need to lean into. I think sometimes when I find myself in awkward silence, as I talk to people about the church, what the work that we're doing, inviting them along, and that awkward silence falls heavy in the moment, I think, if this could be my sacrifice I offer up to God, it's not that bad, you know? I don't have to fast for 40 days, but I do have to spend up to 35 seconds in awkward silence. And then beyond that, it's us not having all the answers. We as the church, knowing that there are experiences outside of what we've had, knowing that it's our job to not have the answers, but instead create space where questions can be asked. And ultimately, we get to learn. It's fairly easy for me, just to be terribly honest with you, to act as if I don't have it all figured out. It's one of the hazards of the job. You begin to realize how little you know when you're the source of like people's connection to God, right? You realize that for all the training, all the life experience, all the calling that I have, there are still mysteries to exist within the world. What would it look like if we were a church that was willing to learn from experiences of people who look, feel, and act different than we do? That maybe have been hurt by the church, maybe have been hurt by people that were calling themselves the church. What if we could learn from those people? What would it look like? Well, let me tell you, if the church is willing to fully open her doors, our reward will be an overwhelming harvest. If the church is willing to fully open her doors, our reward will be an overwhelming harvest. You see, the church has created this sort of energy, this sort of reputation as one that is welcoming with asterisks, welcoming with subtext. If we could fully open our doors and welcome all, you'd be amazed at what the Holy Spirit would bring. Because that's exactly what Peter was asked to do. Peter opened the door just a little bit wider. Oh, just a little bit, so that the whole world can come in. Just open that door just a little bit more. Let go of your presupposed ideas of who's allowed in and who's not. And all of a sudden, you'll find that so many people are willing and ready to rush the doors. May we always expect the Holy Spirit to call the least likely. If you would look at the stage for just a moment, I think you might see that everything up here, including me, at some point might have been considered unclean and unable to lead the church. The drums, my goodness, drums? Oh, guitar? Never. But yet, we have found that the church has realized that it doesn't matter how much ink has been put underneath your skin, God can still use you, right? I remember the first tattoo I got is underneath here so that I could, this is real, I wanted to be able to hide it under my shirt so that I could still be a pastor. Because I was worried that there might be churches that wouldn't let me be a pastor because I had tattoos. And then I realized that might be a good litmus test for a church that I don't want to serve. I'm just saying, you know, like, oh, you got tattoos and you have got a job to fill. And then we look beyond that, even beyond that. Just a few years ago, women were not allowed to be pastors. Friends, they were always called. But men prevented women from stepping into that space. They closed that door because they considered unclean what God had made pure. They kept that door shut tight. We find ourselves, as we look further and further back, the Holy Spirit is just breaking down these walls after walls and purifying those things that we as human beings considered unclean. This passage, I love it so much. It's one of these passages that I as a contemplative practice, will just read over and over and over again. I encourage you to do that this week. But it says this, never consider unclean what God has made pure. So my tattoos, the drums, the guitar, you know, anything else pretty much here was considered unclean and God has made it pure. Let's not look at modern examples for just a moment. Let's look at the ancient ones. Number one, Saul. The apostle Saul was the chief persecutor of the church. His life's passion was to go and find Christians, try them for heresy, and then to kill them, right? We have biblical evidence that that was his, like, that was his hobby. Some people like to play golf. He liked to persecute Christians. And yet one day the Holy Spirit encountered him, purified him, and then he became the greatest apostle the world has ever seen. We know about Jesus because God made clean what we would have considered unclean. Let's talk about Thomas. You might know him as Doubting Thomas. His nickname before he became Doubting Thomas was Didymus. Everyone say Didymus. Fun, right? That's the Greek word for twin. Because before he was called Doubting Thomas, he looked and he acted so much like Jesus that they called him the twin. But then Jesus gets crucified. He is buried in the ground and Thomas runs for it. He leaves. But then the disciples tell him, hey, Thomas, come back. You won't believe it. Jesus rose from the dead. And then Thomas said the thing that we all would have said. Put the wine down, right? I don't believe it. I don't buy it because typically when people die, they stay that way for a long time, right? And yet Jesus reappears. Jesus sees Thomas's doubts and gives him evidence, welcomes him back into the fold. And then we talked about this a few weeks ago. Thomas, at the time of Pentecost, was overcome by the Spirit and learned language that was only spoken in India. And so he got on a camel, he got on a boat, he got on a plane, a red eye, all the way to Kerala, India. So far away from Palestine. He didn't know anything other than the language. And he preached the gospel so well and so fervently that they killed him for it. And yet there are Christians there that predate the church here in the States by centuries because he was redeemed. Let's look at Mary Magdalene. Lots of rumors and lies have been spread about Mary Magdalene that we won't go into today, but one of the things we do know is that she was completely possessed by demons. That's what the Bible says. Now, that could have looked like addiction, that could have looked like health trouble, or it could have looked like demons possessing her whole life, her whole body. And Jesus changed her, redeemed her. And who was the one, the very first one, to proclaim the resurrection of Christ? It wasn't the men, because they were scared and they were locked in a room because men. But the brave woman was there at the tomb waiting for Christ to rise. Who proclaimed the resurrection? Mary Magdalene. because she was redeemed. Never consider unclean what God has made pure. Friends, if the church would stop finding ways, new ways folks are unclean, they would be able to see the way the Holy Spirit has made them new. You can write that in your digital notes. If the church stops finding new ways folks are unclean, they would be able to see the way the Holy Spirit has made them new. There's no way Saul could be redeemed. Thomas, write him off. Mary Magdalene, she's crazy. And yet the Holy Spirit made them new. And may we always expect the Holy Spirit to call the least likely. And when Peter chose to expect the Holy Spirit to call the least likely, he found a way to bring Christ to a whole people. This wasn't just one little family. This was all of us, most of us here in this room. This changed the world. Peter saw the oppression of the Roman government and then spoke to the Romans who were doing the oppression and changed the world. He spoke with the confidence that only someone fully believing in the Holy Spirit could do. See, all he needed was faith that Christ can heal. He didn't need to know that the Gentiles, oh, they're not too bad, or, you know, explain to himself why it was okay for him to tell of God's love. All he needed to do was to have faith enough that Christ could do the work. Friends, I want you to hear this more than anything else. I know that I've already told you, there's two things I want you to know, but this, I really want you to take this home with you. You all understand that the Holy Spirit believed in Peter. The Holy Spirit, seeing all of creation, found Peter. Peter, so smart that his nickname was Rock. They saw Peter and thought, that's the guy. That's the guy. That's the guy. He got it wrong a lot, but he's my guy to preach to all of the world. The Holy Spirit believes in shepherds. The Holy Spirit believes in this church. The Holy Spirit believes in this church so much that the Holy Spirit has given us this neighborhood, has given us these 10 acres, this community that we can love. Beyond that, the Holy Spirit believes in shepherds so much, the Holy Spirit is sending us across town to Highland City, giving us a new campus and a new community, a new neighborhood to love. Friends, sit up. The Holy Spirit believes in us. We're the ones. We're the ones that have been entrusted with this welcome, with this gospel, with this hope. And may we always expect the Holy Spirit to call the least likely. Friends, this church will save this neighborhood if. You see, Peter listened and let aside his assumptions. He knew, quote unquote, knew how those Gentiles were. They were dirty. They were unclean. They didn't wash their hands before eating. They didn't pray to Yahweh before eating. They ate all sorts of nasty things like bacon and lobster. And y'all, I'm so glad we don't have to keep kosher. All my favorite things are unclean. They couldn't eat cheeseburgers. Cheeseburgers, y'all. Anyways, he let aside those assumptions about how dirty and filthy and how much they didn't want God's love. And the Holy Spirit even fell on them, even fell on all of us. Our calling is not to the obvious or the expected. It is to those who have been rejected by the church. Our calling is not to the obvious or the expected, the easy road. It is our job to offer a radical welcome. May we always expect the Holy Spirit to call the least likely. So I've got some action for you. You can write it in your paper bulletin or your digital bulletin. Every week I try to give you an action after I preach at you for a little while, because I know you're not just here to listen, you're here to do. That's why you're here. And so I want you to hear this today. Your first one is this. I want you to pray that the unexpected might happen. I want you to pray with all of your heart that the unexpected might happen in this church, in our neighborhood. The second thing is I want you to be on the lookout for new inroads for the Holy Spirit to move through you. look for new inroads for the Holy Spirit to move through you. I don't know if you are aware, but the air conditioning in our office has been broken for a little while, and it's hot. And so I've stopped kind of working there. I'm there a little bit here and there, but my new office is located at Concord Coffee, downtown Lakeland. I'm there. When I walk in, it's a little bit like Norm has walked into Cheers. I'm saying hi to everyone. And that has been, in many ways, my mission field. I'm not there because it's a mission field. I'm there because their coffee is so good. Oh, so good. But I'm there and I'm making connections with other people. There are new inroads that I can work. And this week, I don't know if you know this, but your church is the second place sponsor for a barista throwdown. Do you know what a barista throwdown is? I don't. I guess they're going to be pouring milk into coffee and then looking at it or drinking it. I'm not sure. But there's going to be a competition amongst baristas, and our church will be the second place prize. And so all of the folks who maybe have been hurt by the church or have no interest in being at church will know that there's a church that has found a new inroad. The Holy Spirit can work through a second place prize at a barista throwdown. Y'all believe that? Amen. Amen? The Holy Spirit can work through coffee. Amen. The Holy Spirit can work through things just as simple and as small as that tiny little prize. This church will not do the things that the previous church has done. This church will find new inroads because the Holy Spirit is moving in new ways. The conversations I have with people when I tell them that I'm a pastor get cold very quickly because of the hurt that the church has done to so many people. But then, as the Holy Spirit, not me, but the Holy Spirit works through all of us, the conversations get warmer. The conversations make a little bit more sense. They become a little bit more open. And all of a sudden, we're sponsoring the second place prize at a barista throwdown. We're finding new inroads for the Holy Spirit to work. We're making the kingdom come and dwell among us. The church has always wanted to box in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit makes us very uncomfortable. And we want to tell the Holy Spirit what could or couldn't be done. Let's not let that happen here, friends. Let's make it so that we are constantly finding new ways that the Holy Spirit, the wildfire of the Holy Spirit, surprises us. May we always expect the Holy Spirit to call the least likely. Pray with me.
All right, friends. I hope you heard something in today's message that made an impact in your life, helped you know that you're loved by God, and inspired you to do something about the gospel that is offered to you. Now receive this blessing as you go. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.